Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and today is Thursday, August 29th, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, continuing in More About Alcoholism, on page 43, the first paragraph. Fred's story speaks for itself, due to the end of that paragraph ending with, really commenced to solve their problems. Today's readers are Sherry Z, who will read the text, Margaret D will read a vision for you, and Dion R is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 28th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,697. 21,697, and for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, Thursday, August 29th, 21,699. Again, just in case, 21,699. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And Dion R. in Georgia is kindly going to read the 12 steps of OA for us this morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, all. My name is Dion R., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dion R. And now we're going to pop over to Oregon, and Kathy P. is going to kindly read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Morning. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there has been one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book are. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speakers please be muted. Okay, today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book, page 43 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. The first paragraph, which starts with Fred's story speaks for itself, through to commence to solve their problems. So come and join me in Los Angeles, and Sherry Zed will now begin reading and sharing on this paragraph for us. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Susan, and good morning and good afternoon and good evening to everyone who is online. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California. We're on page 43, first full paragraph, if you're following along. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had felt only the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. So for the newcomer, just to give you context, we're at the end of the chapter of More About Alcoholism, in which we have four stories, first of the man of 30, then Jim, then the jaywalker, and the last one, Fred, which is by far the longest of the four stories. Because the Big Book is asking us to see ourselves. Do I see myself in the story? And this paragraph switches us from Fred's voice into the narrator's voice, beginning the conclusion of this chapter. Now, if you're a grammar freak, or this may sound like a lot to you, but here's what Fred said. He made up his mind to quit. I had not been making too hard a work of a simple matter. I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. I had not thought of the consequences. This was not easy. And then they tell us that's the nip of the ringer. So I identify in this idea that I'm going to make up my mind. I mean, how many times did I try to make up my mind? And how many times did I say, oh, this is just food. It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. I mean, it can't kill me. Oh, it can kill me. I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. How many times I had said, okay, just one. There's just no more fight left in me. I deserve it. It doesn't matter. It's like, it's not going to happen again. And I hadn't thought of the consequences. How many times had I said, it's not going to happen. There aren't that consequences. And the consequences, that mental anguish, that feeling the next day, that wanting to check my body, wanting to feel like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? That my whole head is consumed with the food, that I'm not present for my life. Those consequences of that mental twist, I thought it was just the consequences of the weight, which were bad enough, but no, no, it was the consequences of hating myself. This was not easy. This is not easy. I mean, there's so many days I'm like, this is a lot of work. And yet, the freedom that I get, the food neutrality, the ability to be a kind person to my children and to my friends, to have real conversations where I state my feelings and don't expect people to literally respond the way I want them to respond and be okay with them having their feelings. That's not easy, but that's the reward. And so this end of the chapter asks one question. Do I identify in? And I can tell you, I identify in, and I hope that you do too, because I was happy. Thank you. I just want to thank you all for listening. And I pass.
Thank you so much. Great way to start us off. All right. In case you came in midway, page 43, in More About Alcoholism, the first full paragraph, Fred's story speaks for itself through to really commence to solve their problems is what we're discussing today.
See you in the shower.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on. I haven't taken next. Can you please mute yourself? Thank you. Star one to mute. Thank you very much. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I am now ready, and if you can give me your first name, your last initial, and the state or country you are calling from this morning.
Good morning, Larry
Jody
G. from California.
Larry G., thank you.
Jackie B. from
California.
Jody
E., somebody from Georgia.
Jackie D.
from
Georgia.
Thank you. Yep, got it. Thank you.
Sandy K., Florida.
Sandy K., Florida. Thank you.
Dion R.
Dion R. Thank you, Dion. Anyone else would like to join this first lineup? All right, so I have Larry G., Jody E., Jackie D., Sandy K., and Dion R. So if everybody other than Larry could mute their line. Larry, share with us, please. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Susan, for your service. This is Larry G. from California, grateful member of Vision for You. Wow, I was inspired by the reader. That was one of the best reads we've had in a while. Love the way you laid out the context of Fred's story and then weaved in your own story. Well done. My name's Larry G. from California, and the ringer for me, beyond the physical part and the torture of the mind and the obsession and all of that, it's the loss of time, the loss of moments and memories of that I'll never get back. It's like I'm on a high-speed train, and I'm at the window, and I'm looking out the window, and landscape is flying by, towns are flying by, mountains, lakes, whatever, are flying by. I'll never see that again. I'll never see that scenery again. And that's what compulsive eating has done for me, the disease. Especially in that last year, my wife and I, we live in a beautiful part of Sacramento. It's an older part. It's a grid. And we have a high water bungalow. And so the living room is in the front. And I would sit on this couch wrapped up in this blanket, eating ribs, eating whatever, just eating it from starting at 10 o'clock until 4 or 5 o'clock, watching, international, Polish, German, Russian movies, and they never end well, so I'm even depressed even more after watching them. And I'm watching people go by. And I'm sitting there, tomorrow I'm going to be out there walking with them. I'm watching people go by laughing, talking, having fun, exercising, and I'm in my house on this couch watching Netflix, eating these ribs with this blanket around me, that train's going by, I'm losing, I'll never see that scenery again. I'll never get that back again. and I am so determined to do whatever it takes. That date, 5/18/2020, is so sacred to me that you'd have to waterboard me to get, you know, get sugar or flour down me. I'm that determined to do whatever it takes. You can ask my sponsor. I have the gift of desperation. I never want to lose that again because I want new moments and memories and live an extraordinary life beyond the ordinary. And with that, I pass back to you, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. in California. Next, Jody E., also in California.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Susan, for your service and everyone who has served and shared this morning. I'm Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic. Yes, I agree. The lead was beautiful, putting it into context like that. And the second share as well. You know, we who have suffered through this disease, we all have our own very, very poignant story about how this disease does steal our lives from us. And it happens very slowly. It certainly did for me. You know, it started slowly as a child, taking up my time, taking up my attention, and distracting me. It distracted me from life, and it also became to be a source of ease and comfort in life. And this ready source of ease and comfort was just all too available. And I learned to avoid the challenges of life, the problems of life. And as my addiction, my allergy of the body increased over time, so did my avoidance of life and of life's challenges. And I too lost a lot of opportunity, a lot of possibilities. But, you know, it takes what it takes, right? It takes what it takes for us to become willing. And it took quite a long time for me to become willing to abstain entirely. That's a tall order. And to then face my problems, look at my problems, take my own inventory without fear, and to do it thoroughly and to do it willingly, because I want to see what it is that's blocking me from my higher power and from being all that I can be in this lifetime and experiencing all I can experience. So just grateful that I finally did become willing and am using these spiritual tools on a daily basis with God at my side and all of you at my side. So thank you for being there for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody. Jody E. in California. Next, we have Jackie D. in Georgia.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jackie D. I am here in Georgia. Thank you all for being here for me this morning. Thank you for being here for me every single morning. And thank you all so much for the beautiful shares before mine. They have been incredibly powerful, and I've taken so much from each one of your shares. I appreciate you. This paragraph just makes me realize that everyone has, and the shares before, make me realize that everyone has their own bottom, their own definition of a bottom. And my bottom is not the same as your bottom, but I had to hit a bottom in order to bring me into this program. You know, my bottom was 2.5 years ago, sitting in my car, eating a family-sized package of chips, going to the Circle K and grabbing a whole shelf of a sweetener or sweetness and taking that into my car and eating it. And then going home and pretending like I hadn't had, that I was hungry, and then having a dinner then. And then still wanting more food after that. That was my bottom. And that bottom was the first nip of the ringer for me. And I was mangled. I was desperate. I was hopeless. And I wanted so desperately to stop being who I was, where I was, and what I was doing. And I am so grateful for what led me to OA.org. I am so grateful for what led me to a vision. I am so grateful for what led me to my very first sponsor who put me through the step, took me through the step, asked me, am I ready? Am I done? And I was just that. I was ready and I was done. I did exactly what she told me to do. I listened to her. I was struck abstinent from the very first day, and I'm so grateful to my higher power for that, because without my higher power, there is absolutely no way I could be abstinent the day that I am now, to the degree that I am now. I am fortunate. I am blessed. I love this big book. I love the directions in the big book. I love the suggestions in the big book. I love the suggestions of my current sponsor. I love the suggestions that you all make every single day when I do an outreach call, when you call me and you listen to me. I love this program because it has and will continue to bring me to where I am, to continue to make me a better person, which is the most essential part for who I want to be. I just want to be a better person, 1% better every single day. And I know I can do that because I have a higher power that I rely on, that I trust in, and that I believe in. This program has taught me so much. This program is my life. And without this program and my higher power, I don't know where I'd be, but I know I won't be who I am now. So I am so grateful to you all. Thank you all for listening to me. Thank you for letting me share. Once again, thank you for being here for me every single day. Thank you for being here for me these past 2.5 years. I love you. I'm grateful for you. And I pray that you all have a blessed Thursday. Thank you so much for letting me share and for your service, Susan. Appreciate you all. Love you.
Thank you, Jackie.
And I pass.
Thank you so much. All right, next up we have Sandy K in Florida.
Thank you. This is Sandy K in Florida. What compulsive overeater in recovery for today, but really what powerful shares. And a lot of times the shares bring back, most of the time, shares bring back memories for me, because I have been in program a long time. And that's also why I like going to beginner meetings, because I hear people's stories and it reminds me of what I used to be like. I went to my first meeting and I found hope. I thought I was desperate. I thought I was ready. I took a sponsor. And guess what? I was still full of self-will and false pride. So it took me, I don't know, I always say it took me months. I have no idea. It was a long time ago, but it either took me months or took me a lot of weeks to really get abstinent. But I kept going to meetings because I heard what I needed to hear. And even though I wasn't abstinent for however long it was, the people's shares chipped away at my walls until finally one day they came crumbling down and I was abstinent. So being abstinent for the first day is not my story. The other thing is, someone was talking about the analogy of the train. When I came to program, my son was about 2.5 years old, and I now have grandchildren. And I see them, and I relish them. And I think to myself, what I missed when my baby was a baby. I don't remember taking delight in everything he did. I just don't. So I'm so grateful, even though I can't get that back, that I can give all that love, all that I have, all that God has given me to my grandchildren today. Because I didn't know what I was missing until I got abstinent. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Dion R., also in Georgia. Thank you, Dion.
Thank you, Susan, and thank everyone who has shared so far. And great, yeah, kudos and ditto to that, the starter, and everyone else.
I feel the electric of the bouquet of flowers of each and everyone's share, and as I vision the path they went through and to get them to where they are. And same with me. It's the part that stuck out for me in that reading was a personalized it just for me, where it says, she had to be, no, most alcoholics, right, most compulsive overeaters like me had to be pretty badly mangled before they really commenced to solve their problem. I had to get to me, that's like being in the bottom of the sewer. You know, is there, I don't know what that looked like, but just the smell of it, just think, oh, I had to get way down there. You know, after feeling I was on top of a mountain somewhere. And that's what it had, my life was. And when I was eating and thought that it went fast too. And when I had the program, I had the abstinence for a while. And I still wasn't working the steps, self-will. I wound up back relapsing. And I kept saying, oh, I'll just come back. Until that one time, that last time, I felt like I would never make it back and be sane and safe again. So thank you. When I did, it was through this beautiful program and a couple others that reminded me that the 12 steps been the answer, saved people's lives for years. But my story is my story. I had to hit that bottom. I could talk about it, but everybody has their own bottom. And to hear each one share their bottom, every story I did, even put the grandbabies, you know, but just being reminded, I woke up today, my face felt like a piece of raw pork, you know, I'm broken out with something. This was a time for me, my face swollen, it probably sound horrible, but there was a time I was just gorged, what I got to eat, what I got to cook, so I can think of calling the doctor or whatever the next step. But today was just, how can I be of service? God, you know what it is, I don't. Your will, not mine, be done. And the sense of peace just comes over me. Just that's a reaction to life. That's how it is with me with food. I still got to go to the spiritual solution. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being here and allowing me to be here in the state of Georgia. And I love you all. Be blessed.
Thank you, Dion, so much. Okay, if you joined us in the middle of all of these fabulous shares, we are discussing the paragraph today about Fred. Still, yes, with our friend Fred. Age 43, Fred's story speaks for itself through to really commence to solve their problem. So if this is your third day and you would like to share your experience with this paragraph, please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from today.
Cheryl A.D. in California.
Wendy M. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Wendy. Who else would like to join Cheryl and Wendy this morning? Star one to unmute. I'll give it a second in case anyone's having an issue with that. All right, well, we'll pause there and we'll come back. So Cheryl A.D. in California, please join us and share. Thank you, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning. This is Cheryl A.D. in California. And thank you, Susan, for your service and everybody else doing service this morning. I really wanted to share on this because I relate to Fred. Fred is, he's successful. He's happily married. Well, I didn't relate to that part, but I relate to the part of, you know, having some things together in my life. And you know, people like Fred, and Fred, you know, gets in trouble with alcohol, and he goes into the hospital, and you know, he doesn't really admit he's an alcoholic. He thinks he can solve this, and I thought I could solve my problem. I didn't think it was a problem I could solve. And so, you know, he doesn't think he needs the spiritual remedy and the what these other people had told them. But, you know, even on a perfect day when everything's good, he gets this thought. and he ends up in a taxi cab driving around for days. And, you know, when I was compulsively overeating, I reached down while driving for a piece of a brownie and a pan of brownies on my floor of my car, and I totaled my car with a baby in the back seat, in the car seat. And you know what? I did not realize after that I had a problem, because I didn't realize I had an alcoholic mind. And Fred realizes when this happens, he has an alcoholic mind. And he says it was a crushing blow. This story really demonstrates to me that I need a spiritual solution, because my mind doesn't work to solve this problem, and I will put myself in dangerous situations and others. I will harm others, and I won't even realize I'm doing it. The beauty today is that I have this solution, and I have a spiritual connection, and I don't desire to eat. And it's totally transformed my life and improved how I am with everybody around me. So I work with people with substance abuse every day, and their goal is to moderate. And I am so grateful to have this program and to know that there's something that can help me with this alcoholic mind of mine and change my life, and I don't have to rely on my own self anymore. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. in California. Next, we're going to Boulder, Colorado. Good morning, Wendy M.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. Everybody on the line. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So what comes to my mind with badly mangled is on page 52, the bedevilments. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. Yes, this is my bottom, right? This is my bottom. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I was throwing tantrums on a daily basis with my partner. It got so bad that I was arrested and taken to jail. So God loves me so much that God wanted me to get his attention as best he could. And he got my attention. And I just have to say, this is random, but I broke my abstinence in jail. I ate white bread. And I thought, well, I'm in jail. What the hell? I thought that was funny. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is I'm a nice Jewish girl who ended up in jail. Why? Because of page 52. I couldn't control my emotional nature. That is where I am badly mangled. I was badly mangled. Okay. So what did I do when I got out of jail? I called one of you guys, and I started getting sponsored by somebody who said, you're going to do these 15 things a day. And I said, yes, ma'am, because I had to fire Wendy and hire God. And God said, yes, I got your attention. And for over a year, I've been happily abstinent, and I am not badly mangled today. I have a phenomenal life, but it's only because I fired the liar and I hired God, you know, and that's kind of how. Oh, and by the way, when I called this sponsor, I just called anybody who was on a Vision for You line, and I was literally 20 pounds overweight. It wasn't the weight that got me to make that phone call. It was that I was badly mangled. My life was deeply unmanageable. And that's how God gets our attention. That's how God got my attention. You know, it's either life or death. Which one are you going to choose? And it's either, you're either going to get out of self, you know. God said, your life is no longer your business. Your life is no longer. What a relief, right? What a relief. My life is no longer my business. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Okay, we should have time for three, maybe even four more people. So who else would like to share on this paragraph today?
Marcel S. in Canada.
Marcel S. in Canada. Thank you. Who would like to join Marcel?
Vicki Key in Florida.
Thank you, Vicki.
Nick Elf in Tennessee.
I'm sorry, what was your first name in Tennessee?
Nick.
Nick. Hi, Nick. Thank you so much. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Marcel S., Vicki T., and Nick F. So can everyone mute their line other than Marcel? Thank you, Marcel.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada, right in the middle of Canada. And this is the first time I share on Vision. I've listened lots, but, you know, we've kind of been in the background. And so for me, I came into OA 31 years ago, and I had the nip of the ringer on me, like, for many, many years. And I am old enough that I remember what the, you know, those ringer washers and what the mangle does. And for me, the mangle happened last November. And I was just tired of struggling, and you know, of yeah, I just was ready to surrender. I found a Vision for You sponsor, and if she had told me to stand on my head and spit nickels, I would have. Fortunately, she didn't, because I don't think I could do that. And I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful for this way of life. I thought it was, you know, all about losing the weight, but this food neutrality is something else. And I'm just really, really grateful. Today is 9 months for me. And I'm excited that I finally got the courage to press *1 and join you on the lines. And so that's all I have. Thank you so much, and wish you all a blessed abstinence day. I pass.
Thank you, Marcel, in Canada, and we look forward to hearing your voice more. Next up, Vicki T. in Florida. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Susan. Round two. So, badly mangled for me. I say that because I tried to share yesterday and my phone was all messed up. Badly mangled for me was having no coping skills. I was really a, I'm going to say 5, but no, maybe more like 2 until I became 58. So that's a long time being a 2-year-old. If you didn't do what I wanted you to do, you were dismissed. I had no use for you. And it was all about what you can give me. I need you to take care of me because I can't take care of myself. And there was no concept of a higher power or God, even though I was in program for many years. My God became my body. And so I was compulsively exercising since I'm 18 years old. And I thought that, well, I was abstinent. I wasn't binging or purging, but I was overexercising. I didn't see that as a compulsive food behavior. It's, even though it's not food, it relates to food. And so yesterday, when we were talking about spiritual solutions will solve all my problems, I can vouch for that. It's true. Now, some are sicker than others. I happen to be a little more mangled than the average bird, which is fine. So I need a little bit more help from, like, outside sources. And I need God times 5. So my God time in the morning tends to be about 2 hours. Now, how do I do that? I work full-time, and I have a family and a life. I get up really early. And there's people on this line that probably get up earlier than me, because that's how I found out about this whole God thing. It was like a secret to me. And I was on a meeting earlier than it started, and people were comparing what time they got up earlier. People on the West Coast had been up since 4, already talking with their sponsors. So I'm not that unique. And God solves all my problems. He is my best friend, and He is my lover. He actually takes care of me all the time. And yesterday I had 3 10 steps. It took me an hour to process them. And I was free. And He gives me clear direction. Vicki, no, you don't do that. You do this, and you be quiet. And it's a miracle. That's my time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vicki T. in Florida. Next, we have Nick F. in Tennessee. Thank you, Nick.
Good morning, family. This is Nikki F. in Tennessee. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for your service. What this is bringing up for me and all of the shares that I get to hear about God, 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 I like to say, you know, this meeting is where I found people who have a vision bigger than mine. Because where I was initially, you know, when I got abstinent, you know, I became very expressive. I wasn't drowning my spirit and soul out with the food anymore, and then being sober, you know, not pouring alcohol and pills on top of my personality. So I can get loud and I can get passionate. And
oh, Nick, we can't hear you. I'm not sure if you hit mute by mistake. We heard passion and then it stopped.
Hey, okay. I'm back. Okay. Nick F. in Tennessee, compulsive overeating. Okay, so I guess I'll digress to, you know, this disease for me today is so insidious to where it will make you fall in love with the miracle. You know, I'm eating different than I ever have before in my life. I look better. I feel better than I ever have before in my life. And the disease will trip you up and make you think, abstinence, you made it. But now I understand that the giver of the miracle, the giver, the power behind this miracle is what I really need. You know, my son currently is on a suspension. I'm in a relationship that's not going the way that I want it to go. And I get to say, God, I'm not in charge. God, humble me. And God, keep me safe from me. Again, like last night, some things that was going on, not once did it come up. Did I have an idea? I had ate my food. I had sent it to my sponsor. I thought about having a piece of fruit, and I said, I don't. And so what I was saying about being passionate and being alive and being saved is that I don't need to be going to meetings where I'm the biggest fish in the sea. I need to be here, right here, seated to where I get to share. And I don't know if the share police will get me. I'm not sure if it's my third day or the fourth day or the second day. But I just felt led that I needed to be heard because I am going through a lot. And I get to be heard today. I get to be seen. I get to be felt. And I get to feel others. So when you all who are not having courage or having courage and you share, you never know what you're doing to save another fellow's life. And every time I hear somebody share, my life gets saved all over again. And then I just want to add, you know, I didn't get abstinent at my first meet. I didn't get abstinent at my second. I didn't get abstinent at my thousand meet. What I found out in going to meetings that I would fucking sit around a room and judge other people, not realizing I had to eat a whole box of cereal just to make up the courage to get to the meeting. I got abstinent when I got abstinent. When I got tired of getting my ass whooped by the food, that's when I got clean. That's when I got abstinent. And for that day
that's
and for each and every one of you all, I'm truly, truly grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Nick F. in Tennessee. All right, 7:44. We still have some time. Would anybody else like to share? Please press star one and unmute. No time to really think about it. We're drawing to the end. Would love to hear from you. Anybody?
Linda G. in Alabama.
Sorry, missed your first name in Alabama. I got G.
Linda.
Linda. Thank you, Linda. Go ahead and please share with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm abstinent. It's 4 weeks now. And when I put down the food, what came up for me was that I had been using food as a sedative. Food was not the problem. Food was the answer. Food was a sedative for me. It was the answer to my problems. And it was reason I was not feeling my feelings. And when I blotted those out with food, what came up was all the anxiety and all of the nervousness that I had refused to feel. And what came up was my mother. I'm 73 years old, and I'm feeling feelings about my mother. And I had to turn it over to my higher power and say, God, please help me. Please. I feel unsafe. I feel threatened. And I don't know why. And it was because she confused me. She scared me to death. She literally threatened me with all of these feelings that I couldn't pin down. She always put me in a position where I couldn't feel safe. She
Oh, Linda, did you accidentally mute yourself? We can't hear you. Linda? Maybe something happened. Last try, Linda, did you want to finish? Okay. Well, thank you for sharing with us, Linda G. from Alabama. All right. Well, here we are, getting to the close. Thank you, first of all, to Team Thursday in the month of August. Sherry Z, Margaret D, Dion R, Alex K, Leslie M, Patrick O, Kathy P. Thank you all for your service. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Margaret D please read A Vision for you for us? Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome. Good morning, everybody. And this is from 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.